Up, Up, and Away, Episode 48, Superman 2, the Richard Donner Cut, Movie Commentary. Hello, and welcome to Up, Up, and Away, the podcast dedicated to anything and everything Superman. I am your host, Mario Benessi. Well, this is hopefully the last of the Superman commentaries for a while. This is me making up for the technical goof on my part regarding Superman 2, the original version of that commentary disappearing. So, let's get this started. I'm gonna have this movie queued up to 0000 in just a second. I literally just got back from my spring break, so, I'm doing pretty good, but, if I can get my DVD player to cooperate, not DVD, Blu-ray player to cooperate with me. Okay, so we're queued up to 0000 on the movie proper. So when I say go, we're going to hit play. And 3, 2, 1, go. Alright, we see a little thing that says the following film represents Superman 2, the way it was originally conceived. And some footage was taken from screen tests and scenes were... they were unable to shoot. And we see the Warner Brothers logo. This was released in, I think, 2006. It kind of feels like they put out a lot of the stuff to kind of coincide with the release of Superman Returns. We see the old school DC Comics logo, the logo that I really grew up with, not that page turning thing, though I do like the new one where it's reminiscent of the one that they had in the 70s, the bullet, or not the bullet logo, not the the old school one from like maybe yeah about the 70s with the really blocky DC letters in the circle. I like that. Nice little throwback. Here we see Krypton. We see a little bit more of it than we got to see in Superman the movie, which is pretty cool. I really should get this on Blu-ray. It's just really pixelated and kind of grainy on my TV. Like, really grainy. I'm actually seeing a lot of this beginning stuff for the first time. I had a copy of the Donner Cut it came with that really nice box set where it had all the films, you know, all the special editions versions of the film. So it had all four discs for Superman the movie, both discs for Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut, Superman 3, Superman 4, Superman Returns, and its bonus disc, the bonus features disc, the Look Up in the Sky documentary. It was like a 14 or 15 disc box set that came out around the release of Superman Returns. And for some reason, a lot of the discs on there were kind of faulty. Not all of them, just a couple select ones. This one, I popped this one in, this disc in, to make sure that it was the right disc, the one that didn't skip, because I had a friend that gave me a copy of the Donner Cut on Blu-ray just by itself. And so I watched a lot of this stuff last night for the first time, like all these cool Phantom Zone effects. I didn't see that before, because it would skip, like it would get to, I think, right when Marlon Brando gets on the screen, and then it would skip to like the credits or something. And I missed all of this stuff. But that's weird. I don't know why those discs were kind of faulty. You'd think for like a $100-something box set that the quality would be insured. I mean, I got my copy for like, I think, $20 at Ollie's, which is kind of like, how do I describe that? It's maybe like a level lower in quality, kind of, than like a Big Lots, where they get a bunch of stuff that like you can maybe find in some stores, but a lot of it's just stuff that's been kind of outmoded on the shelves, and they just put it in Ollie's. Stuff that's like maybe a couple years old that, you know, that it just had a surplus of sitting in a warehouse somewhere. They just ship it out to Ollie's stores, and you can get it for a deal. Like, last summer, I got the, was it summer? I want to say it's summer. Yeah. Yeah, I got the Man of Steel visual guide with all the original artwork and stuff for, you know, what they wanted the film to look like, stuff like that. And then I got the Superman Chronicles, or the thing that's quote-unquote compiled by Brainiac 5. It's kind of like a biography of the post-crisis Superman. I got that. They were like about $10 each. Those are normally like $50 to $75 books. So, I mean, hey, if you can find an Ollie's, I think they're normally located in the northern states in the U.S. If you have access to one, definitely check them out. You can find some great stuff there. That's clearly a CGI image right there, that missile. But, you know, a lot of this stuff had to be kind of chopped up and edited and, you know, kind of salvaged from whatever they had. So they probably had to make some stuff. I'm assuming this missile's one of them. You get this really cool effect right here. Though this is not really how you get out of the Phantom Zone in the comics. Would have been cool if they had thrown in some jewel kryptonite. That'd be pretty cool. Just have them focus their mental thoughts, as if there's any other kind of thought, really. Just kind of focus all their energy onto that piece of kryptonite, and then just free themselves. That'd be kind of cool. And here we're seeing what was supposed to be the original ending for Superman the movie before Donner got fired, and they decided to go with the most expensive effect, which was that turning back time sequence from the first one. So that's kind of cool that they give us what was supposed to be the original ending for Superman the movie, and then they throw us into Superman 2. It's been a while since I've seen this one, but I think I've, over the past maybe 7 years or so, I've popped this one on a little bit more frequently than the Richard Lester cut, and I know that's, to some people, sacrilege, or, just something, that apparently a lot of people really hate this version of the film, and I kind of get it, because a lot of people grew up with the Richard Lester cut. But I do kind of like this one because it does, it's Richard Donner's vision. He had a vision for Superman 1 and 2. They had a giant script. They filmed both of them at the same time. He clearly was planning on being the chief storyteller, or the one that was piecing these stories together from the beginning. So, I mean, from a director's standpoint, I get it. From somebody who wants to be a filmmaker, I totally get it. This was his baby that he kind of got robbed of. I guess as a fan, I also understand why people love the Richard Lester cut, because that's the version that, everybody saw. I mean, I can't tell you how many people really went out of their way to purchase the Richard Donner cut unless you were a fan of Superman. I mean, if you watched a Superman movie and it was Superman 2, you more than likely saw the Richard Lester cut. I feel like I'm kind of rambling at this point. I don't know. I do appreciate how we don't have to sit through a montage showing us what we already saw in the first film while the credits go. I mean, the beginning thing, that makes sense. That's showing you what was originally supposed to happen. But the Lester cut, that shows you the entire movie. Wow, this is really grainy film quality. I'm not slamming, the production team on this. They really didn't have much of a say on this. I think it's just mostly just a combination of being a DVD played through a Blu-ray player on a 1080p television. It's just really, really pixelated. That crazy stare Lois just had. There are more moments in this version that I do prefer over the Lester cut. I will admit, I like this bit. I will point out which bits that I like, because there are quite a few that I like. We see a far more crazy Lois Lane in this. See JVC in the background. Nobody sees him use his heat vision. I think I appreciate the pacing in this film a little bit better than the Lester cut. It just kind of takes too long in the Lester cut to get to the actual story. Like, now we're already kind of at the main point of the story. We've already established that Lois thinks Clark is Superman. They're going to Niagara Falls to pretend to be honeymooners to write an expose piece. And Luther is about to unveil his plan to Otis on how he's going to get out. Oh, and the Phantom Zone criminals have already, you know, escaped. So, we're kind of doing pretty good on time. there's no real need for me to say that, oh, you can see the wire here, because a lot of this footage is really just repurposed. Probably mentioned that Richard Donner absolutely hated the Richard Lester cut. He watched till about the the Eiffel Tower sequence, and he turned it off. He couldn't do it. I mean, it's not very far into the film. It's not really giving the film that much of a fair shake, but I also kind of get it. He was kicked off of a project that he was passionate about. He went and directed another film to kind of take his mind off of it. But he hated the Richard Lester cut. He refused to share director screen title thing. Director credit, that's it. can see the blue around Gene Hackman's head. This was clearly shot on a blue soundstage. You can just see it, like right on the edges. Likely filmed on a soundstage, and then they added a matte painting in the background for that previous shot. Not sure about this one. Possibly the same thing, just because it kind of has a little bit of a flatness to it, and then this is obviously real stuff that they built. I just woke up, so... Ah, here's that footage of Marlon Brando reciting this poem. Like I said in the last episode, ma'am, if you watched your child, you wouldn't have these problems. Don't talk about you embarrass me in front of everyone. No, you embarrassed yourself. Be a better parent. Be a better parent. Watch your child. You are at Niagara Falls. Now, supposing Superman hadn't been there to save your kid. Just gonna leave it at that. You'd think she would have learned her lesson. I mean, he was jumping around on the railing 3 minutes ago. She said, "Hey, don't do that," after Clark said, "Hey, son, be careful." And then she turns her back and eats cotton candy while looking at a map and doesn't hold her child's hand so he can't get free. So he doesn't die. And then this is probably one of my favorite sequences that is in the Donner Cut. This is made up of both Margot Kidder and Christopher Reeve's test footage and some stuff that they actually did shoot. So you can see that Clark's glasses change in style, his hair changes in length, and then he changes in size physically. This is a little bit before he went to go train with David Prowse, who was the man inside the Darth Vader suit. Yeah, you can see the rims are really thick. Just a thick black rim for these glasses. You can see his hair is much shorter here. He's got different glasses. No, actually, it seems to be a bit longer than it was in the previous shot. But those are certainly different glasses. And back to the really thick black glasses. much better than that stupid bear rug scene. Ugh, I hate that scene so much. This one is that scene is much better. With the gun, that's totally in line with something that Lois would pull. It allows her to be clever instead of just stumbling onto one of the greatest secrets on the planet. You can see that a lot of the Houston little small town right here, a lot of that stuff got cut out. much better looking effect than what's in the theatrical cut. That's actually more how a fire would probably move if it were blown by a Kryptonian with their super breath. And this is new stuff right here. That looked like it was a computer animation of the... Like they didn't actually make a model. It actually looked like it was made in a computer. Some new footage right here of Margot Kidder wearing Superman's shirt and some pretty long socks right there. It's like a new shot of Clark right here. Well, new as in stuff that isn't in the theatrical cut. I just think that sequence plays out a lot better than the theatrical cut. I mean, yeah, it doesn't necessarily make sense for Superman to all of a sudden be this selfish. But at least we get some explanation as opposed to the theatrical cut where it's like, I want to be a human so I can be with Lois. Now, this one actually gives a little bit more reasoning, and it kind of adds to a father-son arc that is kind of really... I mean, it's present in the first film, but it's not as... Well, no, yeah, actually... It's not emphasized as much as it should have been, but it's there. Because there's the sequence where he goes to turn back time, and, you know, he's got Jor-El saying it is forbidden to interfere in human history, and then he hears Pa Kent, and it's like... He's got to decide who his real father is, his real heritage, what fatherly advice he's going to follow. Superman's always kind of just been a story about fathers and sons. I mean, when you get down to it, I mean, you also have, you know, mothers in there too. It's really nature versus nurture, but there's a lot of father-son stuff in the Superman story, and I'm glad that they actually try to touch on it in this one. And I mean, I'm sure that if Donner had been able to stay on through the entire production of Superman 2, it would have been a lot smoother than, you know, this. I appreciate it, though. There was an effort. There was an attempt. I need a shirt that says Kneel Before Zod on it. Just because. It's probably one of the greatest lines from Superman 2 / Superman 1. One of the greatest lines ever, really. Of course, there is kind of a problem with the sequencing of this film, or at least the footage, really. In the theatrical cut, he, if I remember correctly, he has his powers removed so he can pretty much sleep with Lois, which kind of makes sense. I mean, from I'm not going to get into anything explicit, but, you know, I'm assuming that that consummating a relationship with, you know, between a human and a Kryptonian, it could probably be dangerous. In this film, though, in the Donner cut, they consummate the relationship, and then he revokes his power. He has his powers revoked, so there's really no need for it if he can still be with her like that and have his powers. see, with that father sequence in there, that line makes a lot more sense. He knew, I just didn't listen. In the theatrical cut, you don't know who he's talking about. Is he talking about General Zod? Did General Zod know that he was going to give up his powers? No, he was talking about Jor-El. Jor-El knew that some way, sometime, there would be a potential for the Phantom Zone criminals to escape. And he knew, or not even, that's really being specific, but on a broader scale, he knew that something would come up, and Clark was going to regret giving up his powers. Jor-El knew, Clark didn't listen. See, doesn't that make much more sense than, oh, he walked to the fortress and somehow got his powers back. Now that actually completes that arc. And I think the film, I don't know what that was. I think the film is a little bit stronger for that. I don't know. I just really like the father-son subplot. It really adds a weight to the Superman films, or at least the first two, if you watch them the way that they were supposed to be. You know, it's clear what they were trying to do, and I think this film gets a little bit too much flack for not being the theatrical cut, because there's some really good stuff here. Truly. Just from a storytelling standpoint. Granted, it takes a lot of memorable sequences out and replaces them. There's a sequence coming up here that's not even remotely close to being as great as in the theatrical cut. But I think that there is a reason why I kept putting this version on over the theatrical cut for a long time. And I probably still will. Just there's a lot of stuff that really just makes more sense in this version for me. Yeah, not as powerful or as iconic as General, would you care to step outside? That's a far better line than what's in this version. Honestly, I would have expected the haven't you ever heard of the Freedom of the Press thing to be in the Richard Lester cut, just because that seems more in line with his comedic style. The Would You Care to Step Outside seems more like a Richard Donner kind of thing to have in a movie, but apparently that's not the way that it was intended. get some better looking flying effects. Of course, they also had the privilege of using some pretty modern, well, 2005-ish, 2006-ish modern technology for the special effects, as opposed to, you know, 1979-1980 special effects. Of course, it's a little bit cheesy right there, Superman hitting the Statue of Liberty flame on that torch. They seem to move a little bit faster, too, than they did in the theatrical cut. You can see he was on a blue screen, it seems, for that sequence, or shot, really. You can see a blue outline around Terrence's stamp. I wonder how much of this footage was repurposed from the theatrical cut, because I don't know if Richard Donner... that's a great shot right there, with Superman revealing the S symbol. I don't know if Richard Donner would have been necessarily the one to have filmed that rollerblading guy. It just doesn't seem like his style. Is that a picture frame hanging on a glass pane? It's kind of cool. course, this is a completely different sequence than what's in the theatrical cut. And of course, they have a seamless transition from what was in the theatrical cut with this bit with the molecule chamber, and the previous couple minutes where Zod was going on about how Kal-El would be one of his slaves. I'm pretty sure that's, you know, it was all one sequence that was shot, and then of course they had the different angles and different shots, like the close-ups, but we had that really weird fight thing in the theatrical cut with the cellophane ass and the disappearing Superman thing with the rock crumbling thing. You know what I'm talking about, the really weird unexplained thing. And of course, this is a new sequence exclusive to the Donner Cut. Hey, thanks for the name drop. I like this little sequence right here, though. It's pretty neat. nifty is what I meant to say. I guess sometimes my mind moves faster than my mouth. Yeah, that was totally computer-generated image for the Washington Monument. Not sure how that would work. Where was the stopping point on that Clark? Because if you went back in time to where the Phantom Zone criminals were in the Phantom Zone again, before the Phantom Zone broke, that would mean that it'd have to be before Luther sent out the missiles, or before he even started to show his scheme. Because the whole reason they escaped is because he threw a missile into space. So either you... See, this is why time travel can be so tricky, because you have to really think about all of these small little things, how one thing affects another, how one thing affects another. Actually, pizza sounds pretty good right now. Kind of hungry. But at 9:10 in the morning. And of course, this sequence really doesn't have any reason to be in here. If we turned back time, or went back in time to before this entire mess happened, Clark has no reason to go beat up on this guy. For all this guy knows, he's just getting beaten up because, we know that he's a really bad person. He's not kind or, polite in the slightest. He's got no manners. He's rather kind of a jerk. But we know that. Clark knows that. We know the reason why Clark is going in. Clark knows the reason why he's going in. This guy doesn't. He's never seen Clark before in his life. Within the context of this film, it literally makes no sense for that to have happened. And we get the Superman flying towards the screen and smiling thing. And that was the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2. Of course, the credits here are a little bit less flashy. It's just white against the space background, where I think it was blue against the space background in all the other Superman films. Like I said before, there are some really good things in this film. Some things that could have been changed or tweaked or whatever. But all in all, I appreciate this version of the film. I think that there is some pretty good stuff in here and some stuff that is just kind of, I guess, expanded upon or really fleshed out just to kind of make the two Superman films that Richard Donner was supposed to direct one cohesive narrative, one about a 4 or 5 hour, 4.5 hour film, really, when you put both of them together. This is a 2 hour film, like 2 hours and 7 minutes, including credits, and then Superman the movie is like 2.5 hours. So, you know, you have a really, really long narrative right here, and it's supposed to flow as one giant story, because that's what it was. That was supposed to be the original intent of these films, to just be one long narrative. And while I appreciate the Richard Lester cut, there are some things in there that just don't make sense, plot threads that are kind of just dropped. It kind of just feels like a continuation, where this feels like the continuation. If I remember correctly, there is a cameo by Richard Donner in the film right when Lois and Clark pull up to that little diner. Let's see if we can find him in here in these credits. No, we don't see the, I guess it'd be an extra or just a cameo. I don't think they normally credit all of the people that are extras, because that would just take a very long time to do. That's a lot of people. Here we have the 2006 motion picture reconstruction. I think they did a pretty decent job. Visual effects by Look Effects Inc. Yeah, some of the special effects were pretty good. Some of them could have been improved on. I wonder if they took this to ILM, Industrial Light and Magic. Because if you want to get something done, that's the place to take it. Filmed in Panavision, prints by Technicolor. No, I guess they didn't take it to ILM at all. Huh. Of course, you have all the disclaimers about how none of this is based on any actual events, yada, yada, yada. Get all the places that they shot. Pinewood Studios, Canada, Norway, Shepperton Studio in England. Get a little note from Richard Donner about, you know, the animal stuff, furs, pelts, all that kind of jazz. And we see the Warner Brothers logo again. And that is it. So thank you for sticking with me for what seems like an eternity for these Superman commentaries. I can't guarantee that there will be an episode next week. I'm still working on a midterm project, and it's getting down to that crunch time where I have a lot of stuff I gotta finalize and do a bunch of special effects stuff with, and, you know, all the software programs that I have. But I will keep you guys updated just regarding, you know, my availability, my ability to really produce an episode, to come up with one, you know, do my homework for it, write out show notes, put it together and edit it. But until then, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.